President Trump authorizes sanctions and raises tariffs on Turkey.
The lira has plumbed new depths in reaction to the sanctions.
And applications to elite U.S. MBA programs are falling fast.
The increased political tensions and concerns about changes to immigration policies in the U.S. are having a real impact on whether students want to come here to study.
Plus, it's a big week for bank earnings. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Kim Gittleson. Let's get started. Now, before we take a closer look at why President Trump imposed new penalties against Turkey and what impact they'll have, here's what you missed. We report that Fiona Hill, President Trump's former top Russia advisor, told House committees that she and other White House officials grew so alarmed about the administration's efforts to push Ukraine to open certain investigations that they raised their concerns with a White House lawyer. Ms. Hill testified for 9 hours yesterday in a closed-door hearing as part of the impeachment inquiry. Democrat Adam Schiff, the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, called her testimony courageous. Ms. Hill couldn't be reached for comment. And the Fort Worth Police Department said that an officer who fatally shot an African-American woman in her home was arrested and charged with murder late yesterday. Here's Sergeant Chris Daniels.
The Fort Worth Police Department would again like to express our deepest condolences to Ms. Jefferson's family. We understand that this is a tough and tragic event, not only for her family, but for the community.
Last Saturday, Officer Aaron Dean was conducting a wellness check at the home where 28-year-old Tatiana Jefferson was living. He came after a neighbor reported an open front door and the lights on in the middle of the night. According to body camera footage, he shot her moments later without identifying himself. Ms. Jefferson's sister, Ashley Carr, said the family has asked for an outside investigation.
Our family now is asking the city of Fort Worth to exhibit the same characteristics of a Tatiana Jefferson, to be honorable when it comes to narrating the memory of this beautiful soul, to have integrity and bring the federal government in to investigate, to be committed to a swift and appropriate prosecution.
According to the family's lawyer, Tatiana Jefferson had been playing a video game with her 8-year-old nephew when the shooting occurred. Aaron Dean couldn't be reached for comment. And applications to elite American MBA programs, these are schools like Harvard, MIT, and Stanford, fell at a steeper rate last year. Some, like Dartmouth's Tuck School of Business, posted double-digit percentage declines. Chip Cutter explains what's behind the drop.
One is we've seen an increase in programs overseas. And so a number of students, for example, those in China, are choosing to go to programs closer to home. There are now 6 of the top 100 rated programs are now in China. There's also a bigger issue here, and that's that the increased political tensions and concerns about changes to immigration policies in the U.S. are having a real impact on whether students want to come here to study, administrators and education officials say. And so we've seen programs in Canada and Europe and other parts of the world all see increases in international applications, while those in the U.S. have fallen.
To counteract the decline in applications, many schools are stepping up recruitment efforts and searching for creative ways to reach future students. One example, Columbia Business School streamed its popular Leadership Through Fiction course. Overall, applications to U.S. business schools fell for the 5th straight year. That's according to new data from the nonprofit Graduate Management Admissions Council, which administers the GMAT admissions test. Now, our main story this morning, new U.S. sanctions and tariffs against Turkey. They're aimed at stopping Turkish President Recep Erdogan's military campaign against Kurds in northern Syria. Turkey launched the offensive after President Trump decided to withdraw U.S. troops from the region. To find out more, J.R. Whalen has been speaking with Ian Talley.
So, Ian, what is it that tipped the scales for the Trump administration to announce the sanctions against Turkey?
That's a good question. I think the blowback from the Republican Party, his own party on the Hill, including some key allies in the Senate, I think caused him and some of his senior officials to realize that perhaps he had gone a step too far.
A step too far in pulling our troops out of Syria?
Out of northern Syria, yes. Many say that that decision gave President Erdogan essentially the green light to invade northern Syria.
The U.S. is raising tariffs on steel imported from Turkey back up to 50%. Turkey's the world's eighth largest steel exporter. How damaging will these tariffs be to the Turkish economy?
Some steel consultancies are saying not much because the imports were already uncompetitive in the U.S. Far more important is the threat to cut off financial access to the dollar and the world's most important financial markets. Secretary of the Treasury announced sanctions against Turkey's Ministry of Defense, Interior, and Energy, and their departments. And there are many banks that lend to those institutions.
And so there'll be a financial hit there.
There certainly will as they pull out of those ministries. Even more than that is the warning by President Trump and his Treasury Secretary to potentially destroy Turkey's economy if they were to sever Turkish banks themselves access to the dollar. That would fuel a potential financial crisis. The economy is already weak. The lira has plumbed new depths on Monday in reaction to the sanctions. And the country is heavily indebted, especially into projects that many question are fiscally viable. So cutting off dollar access, most of the world's trade and finance is connected in dollars, so it could be a major hit.
And President Trump plans to sign an executive order that would authorize potential sanctions against current and former Turkish officials. Is it known who the U.S. is specifically targeting there?
Well, the Treasury's action actually follows directly from that order in the blacklisting of the ministers of Interior, Defense, and Energy and their departments. That's just the start, so there could be others involved. It's when the U.S. Goes after a bank or a firm that continues to do business, unauthorized business with those entities, that the message will sink in that this is not just an idle threat.
Was there an indication given as to how long these sanctions will be in place?
These particular sanctions, as long as Turkey continues its incursion, the vice president announced and senior officials that he will be leading a delegation along with President Trump's national security advisor to Ankara. To call for and negotiate an immediate ceasefire. Not only a ceasefire, but also ensuring that there aren't any more humanitarian crises fueled by Turkish actions. No more ISIS prisoners escape. And President Trump warned about potential war crimes here. So that's what they're trying to stop at this point.
You can find our full coverage of the ongoing situation between the U.S. and Turkey and what's happening in Syria up on WSJ.com. On to markets. We're going to turn to China. Surging pork prices have pushed inflation there to a six-year high. That's complicating Beijing's efforts to stimulate growth, but it also incentivizes China to purchase more agricultural goods from the U.S. Paul Davies explains.
Yeah, so pork prices are up 69% in September compared to last year. That's like the fastest rise in about 12 years. Now, pork is hugely important in the Chinese diet, so any rise in prices hits people right in the pocket, just like gas prices in the US, for example. And this has a real knock-on effect for inflation in the economy. As you said, it's you know, running very high. It's at 3%. So the main problem here is there's been this bout of a very deadly swine flu. So that's led to lots of culling of lots of animals and a shortage. But at the same time, this is all happening within the context of the trade war, and China put 70% tariffs on imports of pork from the US. And this just sort of illustrates the bigger issue that a lot of politicians and economists and central bankers are facing right now, which is, you know, how much will these trade wars, this new level of protectionism creeping into global trade, affect prices generally?
And here's what else we're paying attention to today. Get your popcorn out. The fourth Democratic primary debate will take place in Westerville, Ohio tonight. 12 candidates, the largest slate in modern history, will take to the stage. We analyzed previous debate transcripts to get a sense of what candidates are and aren't saying. Expect lots of talk about immigration, healthcare, and criminal justice reform. But big tech, abortion, and the Supreme Court? Well, if prior debates are any indication, those subjects will be barely mentioned. And it's a big week for bank earnings. JP Morgan, Goldman, Citi, and Wells Fargo report today. Bank of America's on Wednesday and Morgan Stanley's on Thursday. There's one big question looming over all of them, which is what impact has the Fed's recent rate cuts had on their bottom line? Liz Hoffman has more.
We saw two rate cuts in the quarter, something we haven't seen since the crisis. And banks, especially the really big Main Street banks, JP Morgan, Citigroup, Bank of America, they are huge rate factories. They borrow money at one rate and they lend it at another rate. And when rates start moving in weird ways, that you really start to see that show up in their earnings.
We'll have the latest on those numbers in our afternoon edition. Finally, here's a headline for you. Drawn by the salary, women flock to trucking. Yes, we're reporting that even though trucking has been a traditionally male industry, the salary structure, in which drivers are paid by the mile, regardless of gender, has drawn an increasing number of women to the industry. The number of female truck drivers has increased by 68% since 2010, though women still account for just 6.6% of the trucking workforce. Just in case you're curious, according to the Labor Department, the median annual wage for heavy and tractor-trailer truck drivers is $43,680. That's what's news from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.